Today our little journey through the Book of Psalms brings our eyes to rest upon the 117th. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Amen, and we know that God will bless his word to our hearts. The shortest verse in the Bible is found in John's Gospel. The simple words are, Jesus wept. That's a very brief verse, but yet it is a very profound verse. As we think upon the humanity of Christ, he wept. As we think upon his deity, the fact that God wept as a man, we think of the sympathy that Jesus had for those who were in distress. A bereavement had taken place, Lazarus was dead, and yet still Jesus wept. He wept to show sympathy for Mary and Martha. He was not forced to weep as we are forced to weep. Very often our weeping comes upon us as a result of overwhelming emotion, but he was not overwhelmed in the sense that he was out of control. He caused his own tears to flow. In fact, John 11 tells us that he troubled himself. And yet he knew that he would raise Lazarus from the dead, but still he wept. And the Lord knows all about our problems. He knows the solutions for our problems, but still he weeps with his people. He is a sympathizing Savior today. Jesus wept. Two words. What utterly profound words. Here in the Psalm 117, we have the shortest chapter in the Bible. And as with the shortest verse, the shortest chapter is a most profound piece of writing. Why is it profound? I'm going to show you these simple verses. This brief chapter, this briefest of all the Psalms, have so much to teach us that should encourage our hearts. This is first and foremost a psalm of praise. The psalm begins with praise and ends with praise. The exhortation at the beginning is, O praise the Lord. And the sentence at the end is, praise ye the Lord. But what is striking about this psalm is the people who are being asked to praise the Lord. And these people are described with two different Hebrew words, both of which are translated differently in the Authorized Version. The psalmist says, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. That's the first word. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. The word nations here literally means Gentiles. O praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. This was revolutionary. In the Old Testament, God never had a relationship with the Gentiles. There were a very small number of Gentiles who were incorporated into Israel. But apart from that, God did not have a relationship with the Gentiles. But yet, the Gentile nations are being exhorted here to praise the Lord. When was this fulfilled? When were the Gentiles brought into the family of God, brought into the kingdom of God? After the resurrection of Christ, after the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were urged to take the gospel message out into all the world according to the great commission of our Savior, and out they went, and the Apostle Paul evangelized, and churches were established in the Near East and in Europe, and so the Gentile peoples were reached and still are being reached today with the gospel. These words prefigure all of that, the missionary extension of the church. The church has a responsibility to take the gospel beyond its own shores, beyond its own coasts. The church has a responsibility to be missionary in their endeavor. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Do you support missionary work? Do you support missionary work financially? Do you pray for missionaries? Do you pray that all parts of the world might come to acknowledge Christ as the Son of God? Because this psalm teaches us that all nations should praise the Lord. But these words were not being pronounced with a sense of hopelessness. There is not a sense of despair that all nations would not come. There is the anticipation, the hope, the promise that all nations will fulfill this. And I would suggest to you that we have not yet seen the words of this psalm being fully realized. The nations of the world will one day come to know Christ. I believe that with all of my heart. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. The word people here is a different word from the word nations. It means the variety of people, the diversity of people. We're giving an insight into the nations here. Their cultures, their languages, their continents, their skin colors. This word reminds us of a very important truth. There is no such thing as race within humanity. There is but one race. God made one race, and that race is the human race. Never you think that because someone has a different skin color, talks a different language, that that person is of a different race. That person is not from a different race. We all have one common ancestor. That ancestor is Adam. The basic teachings of God's word are absolutely opposed to racism in all of its shades, because God's word teaches us that we all stem from one couple, Adam and Eve. Therefore, we belong to the one human family. But here we observe that God has an interest in the one human family. God wants to save the human family because mankind is depraved, he is warped, he is wretched, he is in need of redemption. But whenever we come to the book of Revelation, we read about a people redeemed by the blood of Christ, and they are drawn out of every kindred, every language, every tribe. They've come from all corners of the world, and now they're in heaven, and they're praising God, and they're amongst that great multitude that no man can number. Oh, this psalm shows us that the church of Christ is growing and going into all parts of the world. Have you trusted this Saviour? Have you bowed and bended knee before him and confessed your sin? This psalm teaches us that we should praise the Lord, that the nations should praise the Lord, that the peoples should praise the Lord. And this psalm teaches us why the world needs to praise the Lord. Why? Why should we praise God today? Why should we be thankful to the Lord for his merciful kindness? God's love. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. He was kind in sending his son to die for us. He was kind in that he has prepared a home in heaven for us. He is kind and that our sins can be forgiven by him, and that we can be brought into a saving relationship with him, that we can know him as our Father. The love and kindness of God. But we are taught here that God's merciful kindness is great. The word great, it means to prevail. Whenever I think of the prevailing nature of God's love, I think of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The love of God is greater than our sicknesses. The love of God is greater than our trials, than our tears. It's greater than death. Whatever your problem is today, the love of God is greater. It can lift you out of your despair, and it can give you hope, a hope that is in heaven. For God's merciful kindness is great. It prevails. When you know the love of God, you know something that can get you through all of the difficulties that there is in this world. And so we should praise God for his merciful kindness, for his merciful kindness that is great. And we should praise God for his truth, because we are told here that the truth of the Lord endureth forever. God is truth. There are no lies in him. Everything about God is true. In fact, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Man is such a deceptive creature at his very heart. We are told that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But God is true, and he has given us his word, this book of truth, which teaches us our sinfulness, which teaches us the story of Christ and how we can be redeemed. The book that shows us the horrors of hell and yet lifts up the curtain and enables us to see the glories of heaven. A book that teaches us how we can be saved and how we can enjoy eternal life. A book that shows us Christ, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God is truth. Do you fully praise him as one who is redeemed, as one who is saved? Do you know him today as your Lord and Redeemer? I thank you so much for listening.